This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the semi-cool voice from me, your local announcer. Job number one, moving the hot and the cold while in the chain changes. What? Would you write that down and tell me what that was?
No. I'm
Let me
just
give you
gonna,
a little more of this.
I just marvel from the sidelines.
The sidelines.
Yeah, the sidecar.
Are you kidding me?
Did I not understand that?
No, I'm not kidding.
I didn't understand a word of that. What?
No, you look like you've gotten a very suave look.
No, Tom, I do not have a new haircut. Hi, everyone. Happy Monday to you.
Hey, and 21. That too.
Yeah. So we had a big night Friday night.
Yeah, what happened?
We went to the Bon Ton again.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. I was there, wasn't I?
You were.
Yeah,
yes,
well,
you were. So was Dominic Massa.
It was
a lovely evening. Debbie said she didn't leave until 3:30.
Wow. Well, that's a party.
Well, I knew that it was going to be like that. I was tempted to try and go later just to wind it down. But you know, we're not really members of the core group that went every week or every day or anything like that. So we're just sort of observers. But it was, and so it was fine just to observe right after the show. It was lovely, and it was a great time.
Good.
It was a good meal.
Who?
It was a good meal. I got to see what the Alvin sauce was. I ordered that.
Yeah. Did you like that?
I did. I was really surprised. It doesn't sound like something
it really
you should
doesn't.
Like.
It sounds like a gooey
beef bouillon
but it's not.
Base sauce with some mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And you pour that over fried seafood. And it sounds ridiculous, but it's actually really good. It was good. The oysters came around. They were surrounded a pile of rice, like seasoned rice. And it was good. I thought it was really good. We were cracking up at the crab meat au gratin, which we knew had some sort of processed cheese on it.
A processed cheese?
Yeah. Dominic and I were trying to figure out if it was... If it was Velveeta or American cheese, but it was American cheese.
Well, it's always something out there.
Melted on the top.
Hmm.
And you
what
know,
color
it
was it?
It was the color of melted American cheese.
Melted
that very
American
pale
cheese.
Yellow. That very pale yellow.
That would
yellow.
Be a good name for a book.
Melted American cheese.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just an idea I had.
Yeah.
Got really.
You get a lot of those.
To think about.
Yeah, you do. You get a lot of those. 260-6368 is the number if you would like to talk to us. We are talking, as we do every Monday through Friday, for 2 hours about nothing but food.
Yeah, I mean, we'll take it anywhere you want it to be taken, and you will find it delighted that it's just the way that happens. You get a good conversation going, and it takes over, and then you're happy. At least I am.
Yeah.
You're looking at me like you don't quite
believe. I'm just looking at you like I always look at you, Tom.
And what would
that
be?
Which is kind of WTF, as they say. Anyway, 260-6368. So we went to the Bon Ton.
Yeah.
And it was a fun, fun time. He is so nice. I just so enjoy Dominic Massa. And we had a great time. And then we left. And that was the end of the Bon Ton. So if anyone else has any remembrances of the Bon Ton, that is, this is the time to say it, because it's going to be closed and renovated. And who knows what turns up there next.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things about it coming out right now is that's been sticking in my mind is that they are going to be replaced by somebody else. The guys across the street are moving something. I don't know what.
That's right.
And so that neighborhood is really stepping up a good bit.
You were talking about the gas lights. We have a piece about an au revoir to the Bon Ton today in nomenu.com, along with the recipe for the salad dressing, which is super good.
And you were like, you
but
like
you it. Were talking about when you first walked into the place, you were on your way home.
Ever
was that
in my
when
life?
You were living? Was that when you were living in the Warehouse District or the CBD?
No, I was past that.
Didn't you?
I was not far away from it.
Didn't you live? Where did you live?
728 Camp Street. That would be.
So is it across Poydras?
It's a little. No, no. It's you know the very beautiful steeple there.
Oh, okay. So you live by the church.
Around the corner.
You live by the church.
Yeah,
okay.
Right,
so then you would have been walking home then, because you lived there in the 70s, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, by that time, I was living out in, I'm not sure where.
When did the transformation, for people who are not from here, the Warehouse District is, excuse me, just a vibrant city neighborhood. But
very much so.
There was a time when the Warehouse District was absolutely desolate buildings.
Terrible and in terrible shape.
It was just really, really not someplace you should be hanging out. And I remember at Mardi Gras, my parents were not into Mardi Gras. And kids obviously are into Mardi Gras. So my parents decided that they would do a bastardization of going to Mardi Gras and just allow us to get the kinds of endless trinkets that you would be getting at the end of a parade.
Yeah.
Now, that's not true anymore, because it used to be.
We took our share of it on that day, too.
Well, it used to be where the parades, I don't know why it's so different now, but you're more likely now to be told at the end of a parade route that they're all out than back then, when you would be in the Warehouse District and the floats would be emptying out and they would literally take boxes and dump them on the ground. And there would just be like this mass pile of junk. Anyway, that's what we did back in the day before the Warehouse District became what it is now. Do you think it was the World's Fair in 1984 that changed the Warehouse District from what into a neighborhood?
There's no question about it.
Okay, that's
It was a warehouse district, and it was nothing more than that. I worked close enough to there that I would wind up down some really slazy.
It was. I remember it very well. So when the World's Fair came in.
Yeah, 1984.
And operated in 1984, they changed the dynamic of the Warehouse District forever. Is that when it started gentrifying?
Well, then it started getting into that, you know, snappy, nice looking.
Yeah, all the buildings were redone. I remember that there was an Italian restaurant. I think it was on Peters in the World's Fair time. And I'm trying to remember what it was. But anyway, there was an Italian restaurant that I liked in the Warehouse District on Peters. And then the whole Warehouse District was transformed. And I don't really mean to get into all this, but I was thinking about that when I was thinking about the story that you told about going to the Bon Ton for the first time and on your way home noticing the Bon Ton.
Yeah.
But well, at that time,
I'd always noticed
the
it,
whole place down there was nothing like it is now. Nothing
that
like
is
it
true.
Is now. It was, well,
it's different.
It was not gentrified. Let's put it that way.
No, it was pretty rough back there. I remember
it was rough,
especially
yeah.
during Mardi Gras, because you could sneak down those back alleys. As a matter of fact, you know that two block strip there that you like to use to park a car. Right off Poydras. That's
right
what,
off
there
Poydras.
Was a lot of. These are very narrow strips of.
Where I parked the car in Poydras.
Yeah.
I don't.
You know, Commerce is the name of one.
Yeah,
of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. By okay. yeah, by yeah. Uh-huh,
yeah.
Sure.
So it's like three blocks long.
Yeah.
And that was like splurting all over the place, but at that time it was.
Yeah, it was
junky, really
not good, not good at all. So then we went to Bon-Ton on Friday night. We had a great meal. It was a wonderful, warm and fuzzy lot of good moments to observe of all the families for whom the Bon-Ton had been an integral part of their family story. They were coming as a collective unit, large parties to say goodbye.
Yep.
And it was a sweet and charming scene. We walked in at 5 o'clock and Debbie said, well, I need a table. I'm going to give you this table, but I need it for 7. So we were there a lot longer than I expected to be. I promised her that we would definitely be out. She'd have the table by 7, but it was 6:30 when Tom was contemplating getting bread pudding, which we did allow you to have, Tom, but
well,
we made you eat it fast so that we could turn the table at 6:45 and they could prep it for the 7 o'clock reservation.
True.
But they were coming in there in large parties all night. It was really sweet. It was very sweet.
Well, the bread pudding is one of their real
It's probably very different than any other bread pudding being served out there
it's
now.
It's very, very heavy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Which would have been rule number one against making a really good
bread pudding.
Bread pudding.
Well, I'm sure at that time bread pudding was heavy.
I have no.
I mean, that's like the number one thing to say about the Bon-Ton. It operated in its own universe.
Yeah.
And that was part of the charm of it. And you know, I mean, you would never see a crab meat au gratin with American cheese melted on top. It's just
not often.
So not cool. But there it is, still in 2020. Anyway, it was a wonderful way to end the week, to go on over to the Bon-Ton. It was nice
it was.
To see
it's
Dominic.
Very...
It was fun. And
Dominic
then
Dominic is on.
Don.
Don is
Don
on.
Don is on.
Don is on. I get it.
Hello, Don.
Hello, how are you?
We're good. How about you?
Can you hear okay?
I am great. I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
We're perfect then.
I have a feeling you have something to say about the warehouse district.
No, I'm calling about what I did this weekend. I told you I couldn't tell you.
Oh.
But
yes,
I can. So I had a surprise birthday party for my wife and about 50 friends.
How old is she?
I'm not going to tell you that.
Well, what does she weigh?
Don, you have to understand, Tom really gets off on things like having women tell you how old they are and how much they weigh. So go ahead. Just move past
it. Yeah. Okay. So it was about 50 friends. We did the Rex Room. And I have to say, they blew the place out.
I'm sure.
Did a fantastic, you know, and I'm like, Tom, the food is, you don't go necessarily for the food. There's more to Antoine's than just the food.
Oh,
but
they, much more.
The food was incredible. I mean, they were there about 30 minutes before we were, the guests. So they had a bar. They were passing canapes. They were passing all sorts of things. At the table, there were shrimp remoulade, crab meat ravigat, oysters Rockefeller. The crab meat this weekend was incredible. Each ravigat had to have a pound of crab meat. It was
which
you were talking about last week, that the marbles of crab meat, those big knuckles, that's what it was. You had two choices of either the Gulf Fish Pontchartrain or the filet with marchand de vin.
Mm-hmm.
The fish was served perfectly with at least a quarter pound of crab meat on top of each.
Oh, wow.
The fillets were easily 10 ounces each. It was just, I cannot say enough about what they did, how they did it. It was a milestone birthday, Tom. I'll give you that.
Okay. Well, before you blow out the candles there, let me I ask you something about that? I may have missed this.
Antoine's. They read Antoine's.
Antoine's. Mm-hmm. And there was one other thing you mentioned about something else that caught my
The Rex Room?
Don, I have a feeling you throw a really good party, so I would have expected nothing less of Antoine's.
Well, the party started at about, we got there at 8, left at around 11. We had a great trio that we hired. The music was perfect. We wound up all night. Really, we were out. Woke up with the neighbors, went to brunch at Dominica at 11, and got home at 11 p.m. So it was a long weekend.
You're swinging. Man, you got it going.
Well, all I got to say is that's a heck of a birthday.
Oh, look, spa day all day at the Ritz. And one disappointing thing over the weekend, we had always been regulars at the Bombay Club when Richard and Willie Fisk owned it.
Yeah.
And we had gotten to be good friends with them, and we literally held court in that bar or that restaurant every Saturday night for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
So I had not gone back since it was since the new group took it over. So I made a reservation on Open Table, and I thought that it would be nostalgic that we go back, we get a booth, etc. Well, the place is really nice. It still looks awesome. What they failed to tell you is it is bar food only now. So not only did Open Table take the reservation, they sat us in a booth and said, okay, here's the menu. I said, well, this must be the wrong menu. Oh, no, we don't do dinner service anymore. We haven't done that in over a year.
Where is this?
Thinking, Bombay Club.
The Bombay Club? Really? It's just music?
It's just bar food.
Oh, and I am going to say we ordered two appetizers, and they were actually very good.
Yeah.
But when you go in expecting to have dinner – and the fact that Open Table took the reservation for a bar, I was sort of put off by that. And
that
we use Open Table a lot.
Uh-huh.
Well,
six to eight times a month.
Not saying this to help them get off of that hook there, but they've always kind of been much more of a bar than it has on a restaurant. I remember the first original place that they operated in. And it was a great bar, and once in a while, French fries.
I kind of would want to. I don't know that I would want to eat a meal there anyway. It seemed like it definitely does seem more like a bar food kind of place. I'll bet you the food was good, though.
But to back up to what it was, I mean, there were private booths all along the wall. You could eat in the captain's room in the back. They were private. It was a full service five-star. It was a full service.
It was a cool place. It is a cool place.
Yeah, it is a cool place, but it's not what it was, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what to say about those folks. I'm not going to say
anything. It's a common story. It's not what it was, you know?
Yeah, I guess it just means I'm getting old.
Hey, I'll bet you're the only one here. Let me check on that.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that there are three or four people.
Well, all I got to say, Don, is I hope your wife treats you good, too.
She does. And I always – that's what life's about. You do what you can do when you can do it because who knows?
That's right.
Yep.
Enjoy every day.
That's right.
All right, just wanted to feel you guys. I'll send you some pictures, Marianne.
Thank you very much for all of that. And thank you for sharing everything. And we'll talk to you another time.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back. 260-6368 is the number. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM.
Hi, it's the food show. Low, too. I don't know. I just put it all together and shake it up and see what happens. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. You are more than welcome to come on in and tell us about what you've been eating lately. We have had a lot to talk about in the first half hour of our program. Maybe you've wondered about it, but the Bon Ton restaurant, which is a long-running third oldest restaurant in New Orleans, which is saying something, We were talking about that a lot, but I think we've about exhausted that for the moment. But if we don't, we just keep on going. So we go along with you, too. So whatever on your mind is welcome here all the time, every day. The Food Show, 260-6368. Ding, ding.
All right.
Yep.
So we also went out to Krabby Shack over the weekend.
I was there, too.
Get out.
I was.
Are you stalking me?
Stalking? No. Yeah. <I'm... clears throat>
Anyway, we went with Tom's sisters to Krabby Shack, and they wanted to eat fried seafood. So I said, well, if you want to eat fried seafood, let's go to this place that has this massive seafood platter called the Mega Basket. And you put it in the middle of the table, and it's sort of like this fried seafood trough that everyone eats from.
You could take a nap in it.
It was big, yeah.
Yeah, it was big.
It was very good, too. It was all – what they had on it was things that I didn't realize that they had. They had, of course, a pile of French fries underneath, and they had a lot of fried fish, and then – a lot of shrimp, a lot of oysters, and they had gigantic, like, baseball-size hush puppies. But they also had other round things the size of a baseball, and those turned out to be stuffed shrimp. And it was really good.
Those were good. That place has been good since day one.
Well, it is good.
And
it's
hooked
good.
Up with
it's
Keith
really
Young. There's a connection there. I don't know exactly what it is.
He owns it, just like Keith Young's Steakhouse. Krabby Shack is the other place down the street, and both of them are excellent, top quality everything. So, but we wanted to go. I wanted to take a picture of that mega basket. So
that was something.
Going to eat fried seafood, then here's what we have to get. So we did, and I mean, if you're getting a bunch of seafood platters, why not just all get this one thing, which is $50, and it feeds everyone?
Except me.
Tom.
I had a
roast
beef.
Who, of course, had to get a gigantic roast beef poor boy instead and took most of it home.
I don't know. They make a real good one there. It's hard to resist.
Your standard thing now, Tom. You order things and then don't eat them. 260-6368 is the number. Today you would be normally your singing day, but I don't think you're going to be doing that, you tell me. So
it's kind
of another end of an era. Tom is losing all of his opportunities to sing. It's a very sad thing. Yeah.
Huh?
It's a very sad thing, Tom, that you're losing all of your opportunities to sing.
Oh, no, we'll work that out.
No?
Yeah, sure. It'll happen.
Renee Descartes.
Who? Rene
it's
Descartes?
It's the birthday today in 1596 of Rene Descartes.
Ooh, who that?
The one who said, I think, therefore I am.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
That's a great thing to say.
He's a revolutionary figure in both mathematics and philosophy. His most famous utterance gives rise to a good restaurant joke. One that not everyone gets right away.
When I tell that joke, I love to see the reaction I get to it. People either just like wreck their, they put a funny little twist in their eyebrows, and they say, what? And then I tell them two more ways, and then they walk away completely befuddled.
Okay, so Descartes was in a Paris restaurant one night.
Yep.
And he enjoyed a large, excellent, as you would say, repast. The waiter offered him a dessert on the house. And Descartes pushed it away and paused for a moment and said, I think not. And then he disappeared.
And if you get that joke, call us up and we'll put
well,
you on the
well, you'd have to
air.
Know about Rene Descartes.
Well, I just assume that everybody knows that or is easy to find.
I think that's a grand assumption, Tom. All right.
I've been telling that joke for at least 30 years.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't make that one up, did you?
I didn't make it up.
Yeah, it's a great joke.
But I read it from somewhere, and the person I read it to said, what? So I just keep it going, and it's always a laugh.
Yes.
So if you didn't catch some of this,
you have to be familiar with him.
Yeah, but here's what you do: go to No Menu right now, nomenu.com. That's our website, No Menu, nomenu.com, and it's right there in the middle of the newsletter. And this, the joke will be released there, and you'll be happy you ever got involved with it.
Okay.
Yeah, and now.
You have something in your almanac about oranges and lemons. Oranges and lemons
oranges
day.
Oranges and lemons and lemons and people.
What? Wow, you said I've already had 3 big Louisiana navel oranges this morning for their matchless juice. Remember the good old days? And I put that in quotes and I roll my eyes. The good old days when Tom would make a gigantic mess by squeezing all of the oranges that he squeezed for every day of your life. And so when did you finally give that up, Tom? When did you come into the 20th century or the 21st century and switch to juice?
There was a new person in the room, and she refused.
No, that's not it. Something happened where the last one of the endless string of those that you used for so long broke. And instead of getting, excuse me, I think this goes back to actually Vincent Riccobono at Mattina Bella.
Could be.
I think Vincent Riccobono gave you some orange juice that he used at the restaurant that you liked.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he gave you some, and you said, you know what, this is so good. I think I'm going to quit squeezing oranges and just drink this. Mm-hmm. That was probably 10, 12 years ago. And so we haven't had to squeeze any oranges since then. Mm. But you do. Was it the stuff that you're drinking now, the homestyle orange juice?
No. It comes in a really huge jug. And I don't drink it that much. I mean, I drink it every day, but I don't need that much of it. I don't know. It's an interesting, very, very tedious little question to worry about.
You said in here that the season for Louisiana oranges, navel oranges, which are distinctly different from regular oranges, aren't they? Do you like them better?
Yeah.
Why?
They just have a smoother taste. Mm-hmm. It's about the best way I can put it. And my least favorite are those funny little, nobody knows what they call them.
Valencia oranges?
Valencia oranges.
I thought
no.
you loved Valencia oranges.
No, Valencia oranges actually from Valencia.
In Spain?
In Spain.
Yeah.
You will go down on your knees to get some more of that. That is some of the most, as a matter of fact, Spain, all over Spain, it's like
that. Well, the Mediterranean. Like, do you remember that orange juice that we got on the street in Turkey that day?
Yes.
It was.
Was that it?
It was, wow. It's like a whole other world of orange. 260-6368 is the number. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Ding along. It's the food show. Let's see. We were working on a little thesis.
We're talking about oranges.
Oranges and
it's oranges and lemons
and other
day
citruses,
today.
Citrus.
Oranges and lemons. And lemons day today. Those are both citrus, but not
too.
At all interchangeable.
No, that's
true. I mean,
true.
One is sweet, the other is sour, and I much
Nothing's
prefer
like
lemons.
Satsumas.
Nothing's like satsumas. That is true.
Nothing.
I love satsumas, but those are gone for the year. Mary Lee got some strawberries.
Oh?
Louisiana strawberries to make some chocolate-dipped strawberries. These strawberries were the size of your palm almost.
Mm.
And they had virtually no flavor.
Oh,
and all we could remember was the days of sweet strawberries where they were normal-sized berries. And I just wonder what's going on with that. I wonder why those are that gigantic. I hope they're not messing with them to make them that big, because they're unnaturally big and they've lost their flavor.
Hmm.
Well, now, maybe it was just the beginning. I don't know.
This is the good news on that. This is the beginning, or maybe even the advanced beginning, of all of those citrus plants this time of year.
The ones you were talking about, oranges and those, that ends in December around Christmas.
Yeah. Well, we've had a funny year.
Which originally started out being at their peak in April, like middle to late April, and then they started coming on to the scene in January, and now it's now, so late February, early March. But what I've seen so far of the crop of strawberries is underwhelming at best. Mm. Anybody else have that experience? 260-6368. Very disappointed in Louisiana strawberries thus far this year. I'm hoping that that was just the beginning and it's going to get better. I don't know. How about crawfish? Are the crawfish good? Are they plentiful?
Everybody's trying to get crawfish sold. It even happened yesterday. I went up
When we were at Krabby Shack, we had some delicious boiled crawfish.
And I had some with my breakfast yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
At Matina Bella?
At Matina Bella.
Oh, yeah.
And they were doing, there were several different possibilities. One of them was a waffle. Another one is a dish that I actually created there, but they have been doing it with crab meat. Now they're doing it with crawfish, which is a great idea.
Crawfish Benedict?
Uh-huh.
Exactly. So they must be very plentiful this year, the crawfish.
Yeah,
they looked good
so.
When I saw them.
Yep.
A lot of people are doing crawfish boils. Francesca has a crawfish boil on Fridays.
Francesca. Oh, Francesca, over on
Harrison.
Harrison Avenue.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's good. Anyway, did anybody go to the Francesca crawfish boil on Friday? Because I have no doubt that it was good. They also are doing crawfish boils on Mondays at Seaworthy.
Hmm.
So that is going on through March. So that would be today. It's called Lundi Craw.
Now, I've heard of that
before. It's very clever.
Yeah.
It starts at 4 o'clock in their happy hour, and it's at Seaworthy through the month of March.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of opportunities to get good food, as there always have been and hopefully always will be here.
Yep, they have a way of doing that sooner or later.
260-6368. Today the Eiffel Tower opened.
It did? I mean, forever or
the real one?
The real one.
That's a different story. Because then you get into what happened to the one here.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the real Eiffel Tower opened today in, let's see, I want to say 1889. 1889, yes.
Mm.
The Eiffel Tower was dedicated. Alexander Gustave Eiffel let the French flag fly from the tower summit in the ceremony. It opened to the public about a month later as the entrance to a World's Fair. The tower had a restaurant at the lower platform level until the 1980s when it was disassembled. Packed into was that where that came from?
I was waiting for you to get into that so we could talk
about it. Packed into containers and shipped to New Orleans, a new structure was built for it at the corner of Josephine and St. Charles, where Restaurant de la Tour Eiffel opened in 1985. It did not do well and closed about just 3 years. It's been several other restaurants since, including the current occupant, the Eiffel Society. Anybody, and I'm speaking directly to you, Michael 75, I'll bet you have been to the Jules Verne, which is actually up in the Eiffel Tower, and I really wish that we had gone to that restaurant when we were there.
That's the one that actually was up the
it's
tower.
Up in the tower. Yeah. Have you been there, Tom?
I have been.
You ate at that restaurant?
I did,
the
indeed.
Jules Verne, okay.
And but what was even more fun is that much later, they were the guys who had bought all the stuff brought it to New Orleans.
Yeah, but that's not the Jules Verne.
No. That's a different story. But when they were here, It was one of those days that I remember fondly.
Uh-huh.
I was asked, there was a group of
models.
Models. Oh, you know the story already.
I know all your stories, but go ahead. They might not.
There was a, this was, again, the leftovers from the Eiffel Tower restaurant.
This was when Tom was a player.
This is way up in the tower.
Uh-huh.
And they had long since torn it all down and packaged it off in a side somewhere.
No, it wasn't, Tom, because the restaurant that's up high is still there. That's the Jules Verne.
Oh, okay. Well, then, I'm
so the restaurant on the ground floor is gone.
Yeah.
And replaced by crowds of people waiting to get in the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. Or something like that.
Entertaining those people. Yeah.
All I know is that all of these things had been packed up in the big
cartons.
Pardon?
Crates.
Crates would do just fine. Uh-huh. And there was a group of five or six young women who are involved in doing model work for the opera, the New Orleans Opera.
Oh, really?
Yes. And they asked me if I, because they didn't have very many guys there, if I could kind of help out and be a host.
Uh-huh.
Because they were going over to, back to the building where, what's his name, took over the place and he was running a restaurant.
Danielle Bonneau.
And I said, sure, Danielle, I'll take out your models
sure.
with you.
Sure, yeah.
And we went with champagne.
Uh-huh.
And this
strawberries.
Unbelievable amount of different kinds of crepes, which is something that Danielle was pretty good at.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't handle that quite. You know, it was
really?
One of those things. If I were the kind of playboy that I think of as me, but of course, you know, we all know.
Did you actually say that? You think?
What?
Wait, so you actually do think of yourself as a playboy?
Sure.
Really?
Sure.
That's charming.
Yeah. Don't you think so?
Do I think?
It adds excitement to my life.
Don't
you think?
Or do I think that you? But never mind.
Well, you know, it's so complicated, and I'm such a nerd about so many of these things that I just, you know, it all has a way of evaporating into nothingness.
Anyway, I am specifically speaking to anyone who has been to the Eiffel Tower.
Yep.
Restaurant that is still in the Eiffel Tower called Jules Verne. It's very pricey, and I wish that I had just blown it and gone, because you know you never know when you're going back. I was there with the kids after the Olympics in 2012. Let's go to Ron, the gourmet waiter. Hey,
Ron, the gourmet waiter is awaiting for us. In fact,
good afternoon. How are you all doing?
We are chugging along and trying to make sense of everything.
Okay. Tom, I wanted to ask you a question.
Ask me.
Tom, when you cook, how often or how frequently do you use the French technique of deglazing a pan?
I do it all the time.
Okay. Tell me one of your favorite recipes or just maybe something that you do at home, and I'll tell you why I'm asking. I'm trying to teach my neighbors how to do it. I do it all the time. I use champagne to deglaze. I'll use orange juice. I'll use beer, wine, anything. Tell me how you typically would go through the process of deglazing a pan and then building the sauce.
Well, so you have here liquids of various kinds. So you can go in completely different directions depending on what you've got in your hand and which direction it's going to be headed. But what is going on, and I'm just assuming that the people we're talking to aren't 100% up to it. You have this liquid that could be juices that came out of a meat dish. You could get something that involves any kind of wine. Anything you would have drunk, you would have probably liked this too. And you just add it a little bit at a time, and the whole containment of what you have in the pan there is going to slowly get thicker and thicker, but much more flavorful. And you have to be...
As you scrape the bottom.
You don't scrape the bottom, not for my money anyway. I think this is something you have to be very careful about doing. You don't want it to all of a sudden go brown on you. It's careful. And but once you do it, you come up with something that is adds a huge depth of flavor to the pan and everything in it. How's that?
Yeah, because I'm gonna. That's good. I'm gonna play the this podcast back to my neighbors because I told them I wanted them to learn how to do it.
There you go.
I've talked to them a couple of times.
It's super simple. How do you do it, Ron?
Well, if I'm doing it, one thing I might do is I might take a piece of chicken breast and kind of thin it out, maybe cut it into a thinner strip. I'm going to get my pan on medium heat. I'm going to throw a little bit of olive oil in and then one knob of butter. I'm going to let that get heated up. I'm going to dredge this through seasoned flour once to get a thin coat. In it goes. I wait about 2 minutes. I move it around. Once it's golden brown, I flip it over. I wait about another 2 or 3 minutes, and I'm going to take that out of the pan, and I'm going to put that on top of some Brabant potatoes. And now what I'm looking at is a little bit of flour, a little bit of olive oil, and a little bit of butter. So I'm going to add a little bit more oil, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a wine, like a white wine, since it's chicken. And then I'm going to pour a little bit of wine in, and I'm going to take a wooden spoon, and I'm gradually just going to very carefully scrape the bottom of that because I'm trying to pick up all those flavor components that have stuck to the bottom. The benefit is the acidity from the wine is helping me do that chemically. So then once I realize I've scraped the bottom of the pan, now I'm going to build my sauce. In comes a touch of chicken stock, just a touch of white wine, maybe a touch of cream, one more knob of butter, some basil, some rosemary, and some thyme. And then I'm going to go ahead and keep stirring as this reduces. Then, boom, in come a couple of mushrooms, maybe just a touch of Parmesan cheese, and then I pour that all over the chicken and potatoes and say the blessing.
Aha.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, I think you've got about it pretty much nailed down. The only thing is that would give me a little trouble, it's not much, is that if you put a knob of butter, I have not ever used butter in knobs myself, so I might be way off on this. But when you have that in there, there's a very good chance that the butter, which has a lot more
water.
Hang on a second. It has a lot more water in it than you imagine. Butter is loaded with water. So you don't want that to get in there and then brown on you, because then you start getting these flavors that are, you know, like a little over the edge. Other than that,
agreed.
I think you're solid as a rock.
I'm going to be doing this for them this weekend. There's about 15 of them. And we're having a party, so I'm cooking, and I'm bringing several pans over, and I'm going to be teaching them how to do it.
Sounds
good. Anyway, great show as always. I'm going to be playing the podcast to all of these people this weekend.
Well, fast forward past the part we offered and go straight to the one that you did, because yours sounds better.
Why would I fast forward to the best part? The website could not be better. I told you that the other day. I've been looking at it lately. It is awesome, with a capital
A. Thank you.
Oh, good.
It is exceptional.
They have put in something that quotes on the subject of food, and it goes on for page after page, like hundreds of pages. I'm tempted to say, go take a look at it because it's very entertaining.
Yes. I love it. Thank you very much. Great show as always.
Bye.
Thank you. NoMenu.com. That's what's happening there.
260-6368. 6368. Still looking for anyone who has been to the Jules Verne in the Eiffel Tower.
Aha.
I'll settle for anyone who's been to the Eiffel Tower restaurant here, but I really would like to talk to someone who actually did go to the Jules Verne.
We'll find out.
For me, it's one of those experiences, and I usually don't do this.
Yeah. And?
If I'm someplace, I kind of try to live by the Seals and Crofts song. Is it Seals and Crofts? We may never pass this way again.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm somewhere, usually no matter what it costs, if it's, you know, not something that I have to sell something to get, but I will splurge on something like that because we may never pass this way again.
It's true.
And this was one time I didn't do it, and I wish that we had. So I would like to know if anyone has been to the Jules Verne in the Eiffel Tower in Paris. 260-6368. I'll bet you the Scots have been there. They've been everywhere else. But they kind of live like Parisians when they go. They go rent a space for a month or more, and they go to the market and get the bread and cheese and have a glass of wine, and that's dinner, you know?
It could be.
This is my fantasy, to go move into some place for a month and just live like a local. I think it's probably a really cool thing to do. I'm sure I'll never do it because, really, I live like an American wherever I go someplace. But I think that's a great it's a great image. My brother did that when he went to Israel. My brother goes to Israel a lot. But anyway, the last trip, they were there for about a month, and they rented an Airbnb inside the old town. And it was something like $56 a night. But they lived like a local.
Kings.
And no, they didn't live like kings. They lived like peasants.
Oh, and that's
right. And they loved it because it was just like, you know, they'd go to the market and that was what they did.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool idea. I keep fantasizing about it. Let's go to Steve.
I've been to Tower Records and I've been to Tower Pizza.
Congratulations.
That's about as close as I can get. But
that's okay.
Okay, what's the name of that new place in Mandeville that you were raving about, the fried chicken, and they do the oysters, and they have a really good oyster thing? It's kind of they have lots of different.
Is it Hambone? Are you talking about Hambone?
Yeah, yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Hambone. Where exactly is that? We're getting ready to go out tomorrow night with some people, and I was thinking about trying to talk them into doing that.
Okay. You better check, because
yeah,
I don't know what their schedule of hours is.
Right. A Tuesday night might not be a great night. They might not be open.
Yeah, I suspect that it's one of those places where there's a very good chance that it's not open.
Right.
But if it is open, I highly recommend it. It's on Girard Street.
Okay.
Girard Street. And it is, I don't know, maybe
closer to the lake or closer to Florida?
It's closer to the lake.
Okay.
It's almost equidistant. If you know, thank you, Doug. What was it again? 544 Girard. It's the old Vianne's Tea Room. Do you remember that place?
Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh. That's where it is. It's right
okay.
there.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And if you don't make it there,
you won't make it anywhere.
If you don't make it. Oh, so they are. So they're open on Tuesday. So go there. That's great. You'll love it.
Okay. Also, when are you going to get Mary Lee involved on the show?
Oh, that ain't going to happen.
Really?
No, she's not. You know what she is? We used to always say this about her. Do you remember the Munsters?
Yes.
She's Marilyn Munster.
Well, but she can learn.
No, she can't.
Okay.
No.
What do you mean?
All right.
No, she's
I have a feeling you're going to need her, but, you know, whatever.
I need her for so much already. I just don't know what else I can extract from her.
Okay. You know, well, you
know what I can extract from her. The kids have been very, very involved.
Yeah, that's
the new
that's
website design is hers. The
The
underneath that design is Jude's, and I am just the writer. So, you know.
Right.
So they're maxing already, but anyway. But
okay,
I will take it under consideration and mention it to her, which
she
will find extremely funny. What?
I said, just whip her into shape. Come on, Mom.
Okay. She is hilariously funny. I will tell you this. She's hilariously funny. And
It's one of those things that you just got to stick your toe in the water and do it. I was in a business for a long time. Well, not a long time. My wife and I did network marketing for a little while, for about 3 years, and did real well at it. And the first time I had to get up and speak in front of an audience, I was terrified, but I was laughing. I told the people, I said, if I could just have a guitar in my hand, I'd be fine, because I had played music for years, and with a guitar in my hand, I wasn't scared, you know.
Yeah.
But what do you do with your hands, that thing? So, you know, all she's got to do is try, and I'm sure if she's funny, she could do it. So go away, leave me alone.
There you are. We have another whole hour of our program coming
you,
up
Steve.
After we
I will mention it
check
to
on
her.
The news. So stay tuned.
WWL 105.3 FM, HD2.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.